Okay, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. You're probably wondering what we've been doing for a year, right? I think those two brothers in the back, they've been attending those sessions, and the reason why such a small surah, why is it taking almost an entire year to do it, is because we really go into a lot of depth in terms of into the verse word by word, sentence by sentence, and looking at the implications of why the verses were constructed the way they were constructed. And so that's why. And today, you know, we'll probably spend, I don't know what time we've got till here. So we could probably spend a good hour or so on verse number 6, which is Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. And you will see why we will spend that amount of time. Now, before I go into it, it's just a reminder that every prophet or every messenger, whenever they came with a message or a claim to prophethood, they brought a proof, a miracle. And we know that the previous prophets, you know, Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, and others, they all had unique miracles given to them. Now, their miracles and their message were separated. So Musa alayhi salam, if you look to his life, his message, what he brought in terms of commandments and prohibitions and beliefs, etc., was separate to his miracles. He had many miracles, the staff turning into a snake, opening of the Red Sea, right? So the message and the miracles of the previous prophets and messengers, they were distinct and they were separate. What is unique about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his unique miracle, although he had supernatural physical miracles, and there are many, but his unique miracle is the Quran. Why is the Quran unique? The Quran is unique because it's a miracle and a message in one. This is the uniqueness of the Quran. So the uniqueness of the Quran is not only its message in terms of beliefs and ahkam and morals and etc., etc., but it's a miracle. Why is it a miracle? Because the message, the way it's conveyed through the Arabic language, is miraculous itself. So when you are studying Quran, you are really studying two things. You are studying the miracle and you are studying the message. And there is a, a reciprocal relationship, right, between the message and the miracle. The one who, you know, appreciates the miracle, that will lead him to believe in the message. And the one who believes in the message, he will always be thinking about the proofs of that message, which is the miracle itself. So it's a two-way relationship that exists between the message and the miracle. So when you're studying the Quran, you know, there are two aspects to study. One is the miracle, one is itself is the message, and they're so intertwined. So we'll be looking at some of the aspects of the miracle itself in terms of the language and also the message together. And today, inshallah ta'ala, we'll be looking at this particular verse. Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. Now, for those who missed, you know, the previous sessions on the previous verses, I think we have recordings of those, right?
The links on the flyer.
Yeah, so you can go back and we have some notes as well. I think it's about 80 to 90 page document, that PDF document.
The translation.
Yeah. Yeah, so also there is a complete sort of explanation of Surah Fatiha, has about 80 to 90 pages, which some of it I'm going to share with you today, but it's not bedtime reading. It is it's quite detailed and depth in terms of language and what have you. So today I'm going to take some of those points from that document and go through it, inshallah ta'ala. Okay, let's just start in terms of quick introduction. Surah Al-Fatiha, as you know, it's the first surah in the Mus'haf, and it is a surah that we recite every day in our salawat, and it is what we call the Ummul Kitab, the mother of the book, is the essence of the book. It is the introduction. And just before we go into it, the name Surah Al-Fatiha is an interesting name itself. Fatiha, it means the opener, right? I don't know how they usually translate it.
The opening,
yeah. But really, it's the opener. Yeah, that's a better translation, right? Why? Because it is called the opener as if it's a key, right? And the Quran, the entirety of the Quran, is like there's a door before you get into it. In order to get into the Quran, the rest of the Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah until Surah Al-Nas, what is the entry point? The entry point is Fatiha. So that's why it's called the opener. It is through which you enter the entirety of the Quran. And in essence, if you study Surah Al-Fatiha is what I say is the executive summary. You know, sometimes you have a report, or you have a book, you have an introduction, or in a report you have an executive summary. And if you want to just understand very briefly what this Quran, what this book is about, you read Surah Fatiha. Surah Fatiha, everything that's mentioned in Surah Fatiha is actually detailed in throughout the entirety of the Quran itself. So that's a very important point to bear in mind. So everybody knows Surah Al-Fatiha. Everyone's memorized it. So just a brief translation, because we've got a lot of new faces, we've got a lot of youngsters, mashallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a'udhu billahi min shaitan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. All praise is due to Allah, Lord of the worlds, ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful. Maliki Yawmiddin, sovereign of the day of recompense. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. It is that you, we worship and we seek assistance or help. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, guide us to the straight path. Sirat al-ladhina anamta alayhim, ghayril maghdubi alayhim, waladdalin, and the path of those upon whom you have bestowed favor, not of those who have evoked your anger or of those who are astray. Translation, I'm not a great fan of it, but that's the best, you know, translation probably. There's probably better translations out there. So today, we want to talk about this particular verse. Guide us to the straight path. So after reading the previous five verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us to ask for guidance. Guide us to the straight path. These are the items I want to discuss today. Right, okay, so before we go into some of these points, right, I want to just explain to you something about language, right? Right, Q&A, right? Got everybody here, so class, right? Can someone tell me what's a noun? Come on, English students, what's a noun? Anyone? Anyone can put their hands up. What's a noun?
Object.
Noun is an object.
Something, someone.
Yeah, noun. Noun is the basically names of things, right? Right. So that's a noun. What's a verb?
Action word.
There you go. It's an action word. Okay. Right. Does anybody know what a preposition is? A preposition. Huh?
Position.
No, not position. Preposition. Does anybody know what a preposition is?
Is she?
Huh?
Is she?
No, these are pronouns. Anyone?
So connecting?
So prepositions, they are small words, like for example, be, to, from, in, right? These are called connecting words, if you like. They're called prepositions, right? So they're called prepositions. Right, does anybody know what an object is in grammar? No? So whenever you do an action, if the action is done to something, that thing is called an object. Right? It's called an object. Right? I want to bear these things in mind because we're going to talk about these things, right? We're going to talk about nouns, we're going to talk about verbs, we're going to talk about objects, and we're going to talk about what we call prepositions. Prepositions are those small words that you use to connect up other words. right? Now, if you look at this picture here, إِحْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, guide us to the straight path. So I want to talk about the picture first, and then I want to talk about these points. First of all, you're saying, إِحْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, guide us to the straight path, right? In the Arabic language, strictly, this word, guide us, is actually commanding someone. You know when you command someone, give me this, do that, show me this, right? These are called command words. So here, you know, literally, ihdina, it means guide, guide us. It's actually literally a command. Now, the commands can be taken literally, or they can be taken metaphorically, not in its literal meaning, and then the meaning would no longer be of command, right? So we've got to understand what is a command. A command is when someone with high authority or with position and authority requests somebody with lower position and authority, they're called commands. So for example, if I'm your teacher, you're my student, I'm in higher rank and authority than the student. So if I tell you to shut the door, I'm actually commanding you to do that. It's actually literally a command because coming from a higher authority to a lower authority. Now, in this case, when you're saying ihdina, guide us, who are you commanding? Who are you commanding? Who are you asking?
Allah
subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, but is Allah in higher authority or in lower authority? Higher authority. Therefore, we don't take that meaning literally of commanding. In that situation, that is understood to be other than a command. And in this case, it's understood to be a request or a dua or a supplication. Right? So you are supplicating, you're making a dua to Allah to guide us. So even though you are using the verb of commanding. So in the Arabic language, you might have a verb which is to command, but its literal meaning isn't command. It's actually, in this case, to make a dua. Right, so ihdina, guide us, is actually a dua. Here you're supplicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something, right? Now, sirat al-mustaqim, straight path. Are we asking Allah for direction? That's the question. When I ask somebody, show me the path, what do I mean? Show me the road, what do I mean? Show me the high street, show me the motorway. What do I mean? I mean, give me direction. Are we asking Allah to give us directions? Like, show us the road. Sirat actually means what? A road. Sirat in the Arabic language means a road, a path. Are we asking Allah to tell us which road to go on? He doesn't, right? It's not the literal meaning here. So what is the meaning of Sirat al-Mustaqim? It's not to be taken literally. There is a metaphor taking place here. Right? Metaphors are really important. If you want to really explain something abstract and really complicated, what do? You bring metaphors, you bring examples, right? In order to make the thing very visual and very vivid in the mind of something. So what is it really that we are asking? We're saying, ihdina, ihdina, deen al-haq. That's really what is behind this statement. Oh Allah, guide us to the true deen. Right? The real meaning is, oh Allah, guide us to deenul haq, the true deen, the correct religion. So now, when you say correct religion, is it a physical thing? This is a bottle, right? Is it a physical thing or is it a conceptual thing?
Conceptual.
It's a conceptual thing. It's something in your mind. It's an idea. Right? But if you want to now make that really vivid and very tangible, what do? You bring a metaphor. You bring an example which resembles that thing to make it very vivid. So it's like saying, the verse is like saying, إِحْدِنَا الدِّينَ الْحَقِّ كالصراط المستقيم. Right? Guide us to the true deen like a straight road. Do you get that? Like a straight road. So you can now visualize what it means to have the deen of truth. What's the visual image in your mind? Is Sirat al-Mustaqim, is a straight road. Right, how many of you followed so far? Okay, I'm going to ask you, did everybody understand that?
Yeah.
So here, Sirat al-Mustaqim is what we call a isti'ara. It's called a metaphor, right? It's a metaphor, and the entire metaphor, right, is what? Ihdina al-Din al-Haq kas-Sirat al-Mustaqim. Guide us to the straight or to the true religion, which is like a straight road. So what happened here? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he did not mention true deen, deenul haq, but what he mentioned is something which is comparable to the straight religion, which is like a straight road. So here we find this usage of metaphors in order to what? Visualize in your mind when we say the true deen. What is the true deen? It's a straight road. This is very powerful, because when you're trying to explain to people very conceptual things, you need to bring tangible metaphors where people can say, okay, I know what you mean, because it's like this. It is not that, but it is like it. Alright? So here, Sirat al-Mustaqim. I don't know if you like my picture, right? Well, there's probably better pictures. You can see here, there is a road, and there is somebody on this road, and you're making this dua. Right? So this is an example of what we call isti'ara. Yeah, it's a form of metaphor that's used in the language. Now, I want to talk about transitivity, right? And intransitivity. Big words. What do they mean? Okay, verbs. Remember we said about verbs? What are verbs? Action words. Right, that's a basic definition of a verb. Okay, let's stick with that. It's an action word. It's a word to do with doing, right? You know, whenever we use a verb, sometimes the verb will require an object, right? And sometimes it doesn't. Yeah, so sometimes if I say, you know, I went. In your mind, what is it? There's something there, which is what? Where did you go? You're looking for the object. So I went to the masjid, right? I went to the masjid, right? Between the word went and masjid, what is there? The word? Come on, not listening.
Two.
Two, right? Remember, what is this? What's these small words called?
Prepositions.
So sometimes the verb, they require these prepositions in order to connect to the object which the action is done to, right? Sometimes you don't need the preposition between the action word and the object itself, i.e. an apple. There's no preposition or I ate the apple. There's no to, from, or anything like that, right? It just directly connects to the object, right? Now, when a verb requires that small word, that preposition, to connect to its object, we call that verb to be transitive, right? Transitive, right? Without a preposition, it directly connects. And when the verb requires that small particle to connect to the object, we say this verb is transitive, right? It's transitive through an object, right? Through an object. And so this is a very important point to mention. right? So if you look at this verse here, can you see here, إِحْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ? You can see it, right? إِحْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Now, this is the verb. This bit here is the verb, إِحْدِ, which means guide, right? Guidance, it requires two objects. How many objects? Two objects, because you're guiding somebody to something, right? So what's the first object? This one, this na. Guide us. Guide us, right? Here, as-sirat al-mustaqim is the object. Now, look on the translation here. Can you see the translation? What is it called?
Two.
But look at the Arabic. It says, it doesn't say ihdina ila sirat. Right? Ila, you would use the word ila, which we're going to come to, means two. Or ihdina lis-sirat. Yeah? Li is another particle that's used. Ila and li. So what's happening? Is it, does it require an object here? A preposition? Or is it connecting directly?
Directly.
Right? Now, there's a question here. Because in the Quran, we find this verb of hada yahdi, right, to guide, it's either connecting directly to the object or it is connecting through prepositions. Like ila, which means to, or like li, for, or for the sake of, right? Why isn't the prepositions used, ila or li? And why is it directly connecting to sirat? That's a question. So when the scholars who study Quran and the miracle of the Quran, the ijaz of the Quran, they notice this and say, we need to ask the question. Why? Because we will find in the Quran, the verb hada yahdi is used with ila, and it's used with li, and it is used directly without any of these preposition connecting to the object. Right. Who's following me so far? Everyone's following? Who's confused? If you're confused, explanation, put your hand up. Sorry, don't worry. What I've just told you is like people take weeks to digest. Is that okay? So we're going to have to look at three scenarios, right? Scenario one is when the verb is connecting to its object, second object, directly. Scenario two, when the verb is connecting to its second object through the preposition of ila. And the third scenario is when you have the verb connecting your second object with the preposition of li. Three, right? We're going to go through that now. And then come back to this and say why this is the most appropriate expression here without the usage of the particle. Because every word in the Quran is selected for a reason. Absolutely, there is a reason, there's a hikmah, there's a wisdom behind it. We're going to come back to that. Right. Okay, so basically, I've just talked about points 1 to 5 with you regarding this issue. Right. You ready to move on? Yeah? Okay.
So, if it makes sense, as it does without the hilal, why is there a need to go into the options? Because it just superficially makes sense.
Because every word gives meaning. When you add the word ila, it gives a meaning to the verb hada, yahdi. It gives an additional meaning to guidance. When you add the word li, it gives additional meaning, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you don't have those two and you connect directly, it has a meaning. The reason why we're going to it, it because it has shades of meaning. And why that particular meaning is more appropriate here than elsewhere. Right? This is the issue. Does that make sense? So it's not a theoretical exercise because it affects the meaning.
Okay.
Yeah?
Because even without ila and li, it still makes like
it makes sense.
It has a meaning.
It has a meaning,
so
right?
Why do we need to?
Yeah.
If it has a meaning, and we understand.
Right.
Let
me give you. Look at this translation here. Guide us to the straight road. Yeah. Just forget the Arabic. Just look at the English. What's the apparent meaning here? The apparent meaning is that you are not on the straight path, and you are asking Allah to take you there, isn't it? What's the apparent meaning of that from the English translation? It means that you are not on the guidance. You are not on the road, right? And you're off the road. You're off road, and you're asking Allah to help you, take you to it. That's the meaning that you get from the translation. Does everybody understand that? Right? And I want to show you why translation is deficient. Why you can't translate Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim into English or any language. You cannot translate it. That's why we say Quran, when it's translated to any other language, is no longer Quran. None. You know, if you recite it in English, you don't get any ajr. You know? You don't have to have wudu. You can't recite it in your prayer. It's just called a translation. Right? And when you go to even the translation in English, pick up five translators. They'll translate this thing in five different ways. Right? You can't understand the Quran without Arabic language. When you are understanding Quran through translation, it's an understanding of the Quran. It's not Quran. Right? And I always like to give the example, Muslims who don't speak Arabic, classical Arabic, don't understand Quran or the Hadith in the language. It's like a Muslim going to a foreign country who doesn't speak the language of the natives. Right? You are a foreigner. Right? And those who don't speak Quranic Arabic or understand Arabic and the Hadith and what have you, when we go into Islam, we are foreigners. Right? Because then you're relying on translation. Yeah. So I want to show you why this meaning is really deficient. Yeah, it's correct. Yeah, but it's not the full meaning. Okay?
So can I just make a point as well?
Yes.
It's linked to what you said at the start, because when we study Quran from a meaning perspective, i.e. these particles can change and have meaning, but they're loaded. They're not.
Yeah.
We, in English, they're not loaded, but in Arabic, they're loaded.
Of
so
course.
When you add a particle, it adds an additional meaning.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or it removes a meaning. But secondly, when we go back to the miracle of Quran, and we study the eloquence of the Quran, which is one of the miracles, we look at every ayah, it's got multiple combinations of options. Like over here, we've got what? Three options, right? The most eloquent ayah, or the most eloquent sentence, will be where you choose the best option for the best situation and the best context. And when you study the Quran, you look at all the options and you say, okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the best option. And you read the next word and be, okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again chose the best option. After a little while, you're saying, look, you cannot improve this ayah, therefore you cannot improve the eloquence, and that's part of the miracle.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to basically just go through these points I've just discussed through some of the notes, which these notes will be available. You don't have to read everything on the screen, but I want you to focus on the verses. Right, so when I said, look at this verse, right? That's the point I'm going to make. Focus on the verse, don't have to read all the text around it. Now, the meaning of hidayah. What is the meaning of hidayah? The meaning of hidayah is, it means advice, a counsel, right? It means also indication, to indicate something. Or has the meaning of tabeen as well, explanation, right? And the other meaning of guidance is, you know, ilham, inspiration. They all have various degrees of differences, but for the purpose of for tonight, take hidayah to mean guidance, right? Yeah, is asking for instructions, yeah, and advice, yeah, to do something. Just take it in that generic sense. Inshallah, in part two, when we do this issue of hidayah, I'm going to go into a bit more detail from an aqidah point of view, what we mean by hidayah and dalala, right? In much more detail and discussion. For now, think of hidayah as instruction, as guidance in that general term. Now, here we've mentioned, you know, the verb of guidance sometime is transitive, yeah, with an object and without an object. So for example, I'm just going to give you examples from the Quran to show you the different usage of the verb. So if you look here, إِنَّ هَدَيْنَاهُ السَّبِيلَ إِمَّا شَاكِرًا وَإِمَّا كَفُورًا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we guided him to, guided him on the way. Look, إِنَّ هَدَيْنَا. So this is the verb, هَدَيْنَا. Can you see it? I've just highlighted it. Is that, can you see the highlight? Or do I need to change the color? Let me change the color. Hadayna. Where it's, this is the first object. We guided him, right? Where is the second object? This one. As-sabil. We guided him to the road or to the way. Is there a preposition? There's no preposition. It's direct, right? There's an example of that. So if we go back here, another example. وَيَهْدِيَكَ الصِّرَاطَ مُسْتَقِيمٌ. And he guided you, first object. Look at the second object. Is direct, without the use of ila or li, right? So sometimes it's coming. Look at this example. Wa innaka la tahdi ila siratin mustaqim. Can you see the usage of ila? Yeah. And indeed, you are guiding to the straight path. So the ila is used, right? Another example here. This is the example of Musa alayhi salam going to Fir'aun. Wa ahdiyaka, first object, and the second one. Here, using ila, yeah, wa ahdiyaka ila rabbika fatakhsha, yeah, and I will guide you to your Lord so that you may fear. Right, so examples with ila so far. Now let's look at this another example. Sometimes it is transitive with the preposition li, right? Look at this example. Alhamdulillahi alladhi hadana, first object, right? And look at the second object. It's got this illa, li. Sorry. Can you see this li? Li hadha. All praise to Allah, the one who has guided us to this. Right? Now, illa and li, to, in English, it just sounds the same. Because it's the same, right? But it's different in Arabic. So now there's a question. Right? When to bring the illa, when to bring the li, and when to just say it directly. Okay. Now, here's the first transitivity without a particle, right? Now, let's take the example. When you don't have a particle, right, ila or li, and it's directly to the second object, what does it mean? It means the person is either not on the road or not on the path, or he is on the path. It has both meanings. Does everybody get that? When there's no object, ila or li, and the verb hada is used, then it means the person is either on the road or he's off the road. Can have both meaning. Both meaning are possible, and it's and that's the meaning itself. So let's look at this example here. Ibrahim alayhi salam. This is the example of Surah Maryam. He says to his father, right? فَاتَّبِعْنِي, right? Follow me. أَهْدِيكَ صِرَاطًا سَوِيًّا. I will guide you, first object, and look, second object, صِرَاطًا سَوِيًّا, to a correct path. Is Ibrahim alayhi salam's father, Azar, was he on the path? He wasn't on the path, right? Here we have an example of using the verb هَدَى يَهْدِي, right? For somebody who is not on the path. Right? Let's look at another example. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the munafiqeen. Alright, this verse is about the munafiqeen, hypocrites. Alright? Allah says, وَلَا هَدَيْنَاهُمْ صِرَاطًا مُسْتَقِيمًا. Right? And we would have guided, first object, them, صِرَاطًا مُسْتَقِيمًا. A straight path. Are the munafiqs on the path? No. Again, we have another example of Quranic usage of directly using the verb hada yahdi to the second object without the need of preposition for those who are not on the path. Right? And here's another example where the in this verse, وَمَا لَنَا أَلَّا نَتَوَكَّلَ عَلَى اللَّهِ وَقَدْ هَدَانَا سُبُولَنَا. Right? And he has guided us to to our ways. Again, directly linking to the second object. This is the first one, right? So here, so earlier on, we've seen cases of directly with ilah, right? Indirectly with ilah, indirectly with li, and also directly. Now, what's the difference between ilah and li, right? Now, I want to skip a bit of this. Okay, transitivity with the particle ilah. Let's look at the particularity of it. When you use the word ilah with the verb to guide, right? Now, it has the meaning of somebody who is not on the path, right? So here, in these examples, right? Ijtabahu wahadahu ila sirati mustaqim. He chose him and he guided him to the straight path. Meaning that person was not on the path and he was taken there, right? Here, another example. فَحْدُوهُمْ إِلَىٰ سِرَاتٍ الْجَحِيمِ. They guided them to the fire, right? So they were not in the fire and they've been guided to it. Another example here. وَإِنَّكَ لَا تَحْدِي إِلَىٰ سِرَاتٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. And indeed, you guide to a straight path. Mean that person was not on the path and they are being guided to it. So ila is used when someone is not on the path and you want to take him there. That's when you use ila. Now, coming back to li, using the particle li. The particle li is used for destination. It's what? Used for destination, the end point, the last part of your journey, right? So here, for example, Alhamdulillahi alladhi hadana li hadha. This dua is made by the people who are just about to enter Jannah. They're just about to enter Jannah. Because what is the ultimate destination? It's Jannah. So what are they saying? They're saying, all praise to Allah, the one, hadana li hadha, the one who has taken us and guided us to our destination, right? So in your mind, there's now three scenarios happening, right? Someone's off the path, they've been taken to the path. Someone's on the path, right? They are, what's their focus? To reach the destination. And when you want to use it for the purpose of destination, to the end point, use the particle li. So this is an example of that. I'm going to skip very quickly some of these more examples. I want to give you an example of showing you the contrast of ila and li in this verse. Look at this verse. Right, look at this verse very carefully. Says the verb here. Yahdi. Can you see it? Where is the second verb? Yahdi? Can someone find it? There, right? It's there. Can you see it? Yahdi, and then there's Yahdi. So the verb is used. Look at this one. Here, Yahdi bihi Allahu man ittaba'a ridwanahu subul as-salam. Right? And here, وَيَهْدِيهِمْ, can you see? إِلَى, right? سِرَاتٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Right, can everyone see now what's happening here? We have the verb, هَدَى يَهْدِي, one has come directly connecting to his second object, and the other one is through a preposition إِلَى, right? Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, here, by which Allah guides, right, those, so here, manittaba, this is the first object, those who follow, or those who pursue his pleasure. That's object number one. Where is object number two? This one, subul. That is object number two. And there is no illa or li. Is direct. Right? So by, this is the meaning here, up to here, right? And here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning, وَيُخْرِجُوهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ بِإِذْنِهِ وَيَهْدِيهِمْ إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. So look at that, look at the usage here. Now the one who is مَنِ اتَّبَعَ رِضْوَانَهُ, those who are seeking his pleasure, are they already on the path? Are they already on the path? They are already on the path. And we said that when it is, if you are already on the path, you don't bring the object, sorry, the preposition illa or li. You don't bring it. It means you're already on the path. That's why here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not mention illa. Right? Because they're already on the path. But what about those? وَيُخْرِجُوهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ بِإِذْنِهِ وَيَهْدِيهِمْ إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Right? And brings them out from darkness into light. So those people who are in darkness, coming into light, are they on the path? They're not on the path. So here you can see, وَيَهْدِيهِمْ إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Can you see the usage of the إِلَى? Right? You can see the difference. One is you're already on the path, and the other is you're not on the path. What's making the difference? Not the verb itself. It's the use of these small connecting words. Right? So that's an example.
So start just an example. In the first usage,
yeah,
when we said that it is an in object, it could mean you're either on the path
both.
Or not.
Yeah, both, right? Both. But here, in this case, you are definitely, yeah, because they are seeking his pleasure, right? But in this case, they're not.
Definitely not.
Yeah, so you bring illa. Just that small word, right, makes a huge difference in the meaning. And you're not going to get that from the translation. Can you get that from the translation?
No.
No. Right? Because in the translation, right, by which Allah guides those who pursue his pleasure to the ways. Look, to the ways. Right? To the ways. To a straight path. Look at the English. To a. Right? Can you see? Same. But in Arabic, you can't translate that. Right? Because you're already on it. In one case, in the other case, you're not.
So, Ustaz, just on that point, right? So, if you didn't have the object in the second one,
Then
it still makes sense, right? Because it could be either or, but we're saying it's more powerful to have
the... No. In the Quran, you will find in the Quranic usage, illa, whenever hada yahdi is used with illa, right? You will find that it's taking you to the path. So there's this consistency in the Quran.
Okay.
Right? And that's why it's miraculous, because these patterns of usage of the preposition consistently, right, in the Quran, is one of the miracles, because you and I, when we speak over a period of 10 minutes, you find inconsistency. Right? Even though our general meaning is understood. Right? And Quran has maintained that consistency of usage over 23 years just by... And the Prophet ﷺ, he just uttered it, right? He doesn't have an editorial process to go back and say, you know what, 5 years ago I used illa and li, let me do a version 2. That's miraculous. Right? To find that consistency. Let's take another example. Look at this example here. قُلْ هَلْ مِنْ شُرَكَائِكُمْ مَنْ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْحَقِّ قُلِ اللَّهُ يَهْدِي لِلْحَقِّ أَفَمَنْ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْحَقِّ أَحَقُّ أَنْ يُتَّبَعَ أَمَّنْ لَا يَهْدِي إِلَّا أَنْ يُهْدَى. So here we have, can you find the verbs? Yahdi, there's one here, right? There's another verb here, yahdi. There's another verb here, yahdi, right? Is used. So first one is used with ila. Second one is used with li, right? And the third one, let's look at this one here, ila, right? So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is challenging the mushrikeen in this verse. He says, "Qul, say, hal min shurakaikum, Can your partners, those who associate, you know, worship with, man yahdi ila al-haq, guide to the truth. Guide to the truth. Meaning, people who are away from the truth, these idols, can they actually guide to the truth? Meaning they're not on the truth. You see the usage here, right? Where here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allahu yahdi lil-haq, right? Allah is the one who can direct you to the purpose of truth, to the goal of truth. Now, very powerful here. Allah did not mention here, man yahdi lil-haq. He used the word ilah, right? Now, if you can't even take a person to the path which leads to the truth, how can you guide someone to the destination itself? Do you see the power of the language here? And here Allah says, no, I am the one, not only can they take to the path, but I can take him to the destination itself. And that's just using the difference between ila and li. Again here, أَفَمَنْ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْحَقِّ, look, Allah used the word, can they guide to the truth? Can they guide to the truth? No, they can't guide to the truth, right? So these are rhetorical questions, I mean they can't guide. They can't even take people to the path which lead to the truth, or to truth itself. So in these examples, you can see the difference. That's usage of the particles, ila and li. Okay. Now let's come back to let's come back to our example here. Alright, let's recap. Okay, so hada yahdi, the verb to guide. It can be used by itself to the second object without any preposition, without ila or li, right? And if it's used without ila or li, as in here, what does it mean? It means they're on the path or they're not on the path, right? When it's used with ila, it means to take somebody on the path. When it's used with li, right, is to help them reach the destination. By not mentioning ila or li, right, by omitting it, and you're directly connecting, what are you? You're encompassing how many meanings?
Two.
It's two, but the three meanings. One, you are already on the road. Two, you want to come onto the road. Three, once you are on the road, to reach the
destination.
To reach the destination. اِحْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, guide us to the straight road. It has the meaning, oh Allah, I'm not on the road. Help me get on the road. I'm not on the road. I'm asking you to get me on the Sirat al-Mustaqim. That's one meaning. And you get that meaning by omitting ila. Right? Second meaning, oh Allah, I am on the road, but I need your help. I'm on this road, right? I need help to be, because this is a journey. I need help, right? I'm on the road.
To stay on the road.
To stay on the road. What's the other meaning? Oh Allah, there's a destination there. There's an end point, there's a goal. Alhamdulillah alladhi hadana li hadha. وَمَا كُنَّا لِنَهْتَدِي لَوْلَا أَنْ حَدَرَ اللَّهِ. That the people who are guided, they say, oh Allah, you know, all praise to the one who guided us to this, to this goal, to this purpose. Had it not been for your guidance, we would have been misguided. Right? It's to get to the destination. So you have three meanings. Help us get on the road. Help us stay on the road. Right? And help us get to the
destination.
Because if we put
يهدنا للصراط المستقيم, it just means what? Help us get to the destination. If we put يهدنا إلى الصراط المستقيم, it means help us get on the road. If we take out any preposition directly, you encompass all the three meanings. So if you were to translate that, how would you translate that now? You would say, guide us to the road, guide us to be on the road, guide us to get into our objective, our goal. You need three sentences in English to give that meaning. In Arabic, what do? We just don't put a preposition there. We just remove a preposition. That's what you do, just remove it. You don't put ila, you don't put li, you do it directly, right? And you get all of this meaning, right? All of that meaning is coming. That's why I said, you never can translate that. It's taken me an hour to explain that, almost, right? اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Right. Now you know why this is a poor translation. It will always be a poor translation. Right? Okay. I've spoken for quite a bit of time. Just on this point, because there's things to be discussed about Sirat al-Mustaqim. I'm not sure whether we're going to do it today, right?
You can finish at 10 if one needs to.
Yeah, but because I want to talk about the word Sirat, I want to talk about the word Mustaqim as well. Yeah, which is lengthy discussion. Right. Let's get some feedback. How did you find that last 45 minutes, an hour?
Alhamdulillah, was good. But I had a question.
Yes.
If I can. So we mentioned that we link the verb to the object, as in this case.
Yes.
Initially, we said that there are two possibilities. You're on the path or you're not on the path.
Yes.
But now we seem to say that it's three possibilities, where it also encompasses you could be trying to reach a destination.
Yes.
So we say there's three possibilities.
So one is you're not on the path. You want to get onto the path. One is you are on the path, right? And you want to stay on the path, right? And the third is when you're on the path, you're heading toward a destination. You don't just go on a path. Like when you go on a motorway, you don't just stay on the motorway for the sake of it. You want to get to a destination, right? Just think of this road, and that's why, subhanAllah, the beauty of Quran. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just said, ihdina deen al-haq, guide us to the correct deen, do you have an image in your mind without bringing this metaphor? If I was to ask you to, like, okay, describe it, right? What is the true deen visually? You'd be thinking, but Allah saying, okay, I want to give you a visual image of what is the correct deen. It is a straight road, right? You see what I mean? So you can now visualize as a traveler, either you want to get onto the road, either you are on the road, or you want to go to a destination whilst on the road. You are asking Allah for guidance, right? For in all those situations. Just think about it. Isn't that the reality of human life? Right? Sometimes, you know, we are far away from the right things. Right? What's the first thing that we do? What we try to do is try to get onto the right thing. Get onto the right course, isn't it? This is the hal of human beings. And once we're on the right course, what's our worry? I want to stay on it. I don't want to fall off. I don't want to fall behind, right? We're worried about that. You're asking for guidance. And once you're there, in your mind, this road has a destination. And the goal is what? I want to get to that destination. And getting to that destination, you are asking Allah to help you on your way getting to the destination, right? It's, you know, it's a bit, if you just take, for example, tom-toms or, you know, sat-navs, right? Sat-nav, kind of, as a metaphor, it takes you onto the road, and then it accompanies you all the way to the The destination. He says, yeah, you've got 15 miles to go, 20 miles to go, there's some traffic ahead. Yeah, watch out, this, that, right? It accompanies you all the way until you get to your destination. We are asking Allah for all of those situations. We are off the road, we are on the road, we've got challenges on the road, we need guidance on the road, we want to stay on the road, and we want to get to that destination. That's the meaning of Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. Right? And that is achieved incredibly just by not mentioning ilah, not mentioning li, and using this form. Right? And the Arabs, they just understood that, because that's in their language. They just understood what that actually means. Okay. Let's move on. Right, so the next question here. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim, right? I want to talk about, let's go back to the previous slide. I want to raise a point here.
Look at this verse here. This verse, can you see it? Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in, right? How is that translated? You alone, okay. You alone we worship, and you alone we seek assistance or help. Now, there's lots going on this verse, but I want to pick out one thing. Here, it said, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. We worship you alone, right? And we seek help from you alone. That's the meaning, right? Now here, if you look to here, إِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, right? Guide us to the truth, right? There's a question that's coming here. What's the question? Can someone think of the obvious question to ask?
I said, what is the truth?
Just look at that. Look at the difference. It is you we worship and you we ask for help, right?
Is it the pronouns?
It's the pronouns, right? So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say, right? We didn't say, for example, here, na'buduka wa nasta'inuka, right? Here is it with ihdina, guide us. It didn't say, guide me, right? Making it exclusive, right? So it wasn't like, guide me, it was guide us, right? Guide us to the straight path. So there's a question. Why is it in the plural form? Why is it saying guide us? And not just guide me. That's a question.
So why is that a question? Because isn't it in the plural form in the previous one?
It is. But if you go back, why did Allah... No, my point here is this. You know this one here?
Mm-hmm.
Here, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, that pronoun is brought first, not نَعْبُدُ كَ نَسْتَعِنُ كَ. Why not say إِيَّانَ, us, or إِيَّ, myself? Why actually bring delay, if you like, the object? Right, where here it's been brought first, right? And there's a reason for this. Here, in this example, what you're doing, you're restricting the worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you're restricting the worship to, or seeking the help to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here, ihdina, guide us. You're not restricting it to yourself or to us. Because what guidance should be for? For everyone. Where worshipping Allah should be only for Allah. And seeking assistance should be only from Allah. So here, just by switching around the pronoun, you say, Ihdina, guide us. Right? Guide us. So this guidance is not restricted to us Muslims only, or people who believe, or to your family. Right? And this is an indication that this guidance is for everyone. And this, so we know, for example, this hadith of the Prophet ﷺ said, love for your love for your brother what you love for yourself. Right? And love for your brother what you love for yourself. Imam Nawawi, he comments on the meaning of brother, he said human beings, right? I.e. we love to be guided, and you, and we want others to be guided. So this, ihdina, guide us, right? It gives us an indication that this guidance is collective, is not individualistic, is not only for yourself, for your family, and it should be for everybody else. So that's one reason why you don't actually bring, say, you know, iyana, right? At the front, right? Or, you know, you don't bring it first and you delay it in order to create that generality and not that restriction. So that's one very important point, right? So
let's go to some other points. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned sirat, sirat al-mustaqim. You know the word sirat, the word road in Arabic, there's so many different roads, words for it. So for example, the word sabil. You've heard, like for example, fi sabilillah, in the way of Allah. That's called, it's called a road as well, right? Sirat is also called a road, right? And then you have so many other different words. So there's a question about why use the word sirat and not the other ones, right? Sirat in Arabic, it means a road which is very wide and spacious. Very wide and spacious. That's the meaning of... And in the Quran, you would never find the word sirat used in its plural form. Right? It's always in its singular form. Yeah? The straight path. A straight path. Right? You'll never find the word sirat in its plural, like paths or roads. It's never used in the Quran. It's always used the word sirat. Right? So first of all, the word sirat is used, it means it is very, very vast and very wide. Right? And if you think about it, why? Because you asked what? You've asked Allah, guide us, ihdina, in the plural form. All of us. So this road needs to be, should it be wide or should it be narrow?
Wide.
Wide. So what is the best word to use from all of the other words which are available in the language, which is used for road, is sirat, right? So that's the reason why the word sirat is used, right? Now, there is a very interesting question to be asked here. Ihdina sirat. Yeah, guide us to the road. Do people ask guidance to the road or do people ask guidance to the destination?
Destination.
Huh?
Destination.
It's destination, isn't it? People don't, you don't ask, you know, show me to this road. You ask generally, how do I get there? And they'll tell you, take this road. Right? Here, you're asking Allah to take you to the road. Now, there is a point that's been made. First of all, sirat, it means one road. And it's always used in the Quran to mean one road, right? What does that actually mean? It means there's only one destination. It means there's only one destination. That's what it means, right? And there's only one way of getting to that destination, which is the sirat, right? Which is this sirat. And the word mustaqim, it means straight, right? Now the word sirat itself has the meaning of straight anyway as well. But the word mustaqim is used to mean straight as opposed to what? Crooked, right? It's opposed to being, you know, really crooked and not straight. When you have a straight road, which is it easier to travel on a straight road or on a crooked road and a bendy road? Huh? The straight road is much easier, right? So there's one road which takes you to one destination and the road is straight. And there is a point here about the usage of the singular, which is what? This deen is the only true deen. That's the point. This sirat is the only true way of life. There is no other way. There's no other road that will take you to your destination. And this is a very important point to just think about for now. I'm going to stop in a minute. We'll carry on with some of these points next time. Today, we live in a world of what they called of tolerance. People need to be tolerant. This is the mantra of secular liberal society, that they really pride themselves of being tolerant. What do they really mean by tolerance? What do they really mean by tolerance? What they really mean by tolerance is this, is that, and this concept of tolerance has come about because of the Western history with religion, right? Because in their history, you see what? Wars of religion. You have the Christianity, you had the Reformation, and you have decades and hundreds of years of war in the West. And what did they come, what's the conclusion that they came to? The conclusion they came to was that religion, there's no one true religion. There's no one truth. And if one religion rules over another, right, then there's going to be what? There's going to be corruption, there's going to be mischief, there's going to be persecution, there's going to be intolerance, right? So they came with this idea, there isn't something called al-haq and batil. There isn't something called the truth or something called falsehood. Christianity, Judaism, Hinduism, Islam, they are all religions, and we got to live under the rubric or under the umbrella of tolerance, because none of them can claim to be exclusively right and the others to be wrong. So if you look at the way they teach religion in the West, they teach it through the framework of tolerance. And the underlying basis of tolerance is what? That you believe what you believe, I believe what I believe, yeah? On the basis, none of us can actually claim that I am on the truth and you are on the falsehood. Because if you say that to someone, you are on the falsehood, I am on the truth, you are intolerant. Intolerant. That's what it is. Here, Sirat al-Mustaqim, the one true path, means all other paths are false. And this is a point of aqidah for Muslims. This is a fundamental point of aqidah for Muslims, especially living in the West. Now, when we, of course, the word tolerance in the sense that it doesn't mean that we're going to beat somebody up or be violent towards them, right? But in terms of our beliefs as Muslim, Islam is the heart, is the truth. It is the only way. So some people say, you know what, yeah, there's God and getting to Jannah and what have you. There's so many different ways of getting there, right? The Jews have their own way, Christians have their own way, the Hindus have their own way, the Buddhists have their own way. No, Sirat al-Mustaqim, there is one true path. And if you're not on that true path, you're not going to achieve that objective. So this is a very important point of usage of the word Sirat. And secondly, Mustaqim. Mustaqim, it means straight. It means it's not crooked. Yeah, it's not very difficult to navigate. And Imam al-Razi, he mentioned a very nice point. He said, what is the shortest distance between two points?
Straight
line. Because human beings, when they want to go from A to B, what do they look for naturally? The quickest and the straightest way to get there. This is our fitrah. This is our nature. Yeah? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us with this need to have a straight, quick way of getting to our destination. So that's why it's a straight path. I'm going to stop and then we'll have, you know, if there's 5 minutes or if there's any questions, comments, and we'll do part two, inshallah, another time.
There's only one point that we can do the next one.
Yeah.
Which is the linkage.
Yes, so we'll do that. Yeah. Any points? Yes.
I think it's a good, I like the analogy that you used, the Robin way. Well, some of the classical scholars have said that actually the journey, the closer you go towards Allah and achieve perfection, the narrower the path becomes, almost to country length of being a country length where you can't deviate because you've come that, you've been perfected to lead to that level, and the more difficult it becomes as one becomes narrower, it is straight.
Yeah, absolutely. And what is interesting is the word mustaqim. Mustaqim is from the word istaqama. Istaqama means to arise. To rise. Right? To stand, to rise. So it is a road that elevates you and keeps you rising. Rising to what? Towards your goal. Right? Meaning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to Jannah. Right? So the word mustaqim is not only straight itself, it means it's straight, but with the quality of you are ascending. Right? Your journey is one of ascension. Right? From your low base desires, yeah, to one of ascending towards your goal, to your objective, which is to please Allah and to get into His Jannah. So that's why the word mustaqim, it has this added meaning of it's a straight path which is ascending. Yeah. Now look at, just think about that just as an idea. Imagine this path. Imagine this road is actually going up a mountain, right? You're ascending. It's a straight road, but you're ascending towards the peak of a mountain, right? When you go higher and higher up, right? When you go higher and higher up, if you fall, you're going to fall quite bad, right? And here, there is an issue. This is a metaphor again. When you go higher and higher up, yeah, you're at risk of falling, right? Now, a Muslim, he's always at risk, yeah, of falling, of the straight path, right? But you need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you, right? So for example, in Suratul A'raf, where Shaitan, what did he say? Because, you know, قَالَ فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْثَنِي. He said, because you have, talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have misled me, right? What did he say? I will sit on the path, yeah? سِرَاتَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, your straight path. I will sit there waiting for what? For those people who will come. The believers who are on the path. He said, I will attack them from behind, from front, from the side, from the left, right? And he said that you will find most of them, yeah, not to be grateful, right? Now, on this path, you're on this path, Shaitan is going to attack you from behind, from left, from side, right? From every direction you can think of. And he said that you'll find most of them not grateful. Who is it that you need help from now? From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, guide us to the straight path. It means, well, I'm on this path now, help me from the attacks of Shaitan. Shaitan will come and he will attack you. And if you know, it's coming back to the point Abdul Karim was saying, what's the linkage with the previous verses? In the previous verse, what did we say? Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. We worship you. Okay, how can you worship Allah? You need to have a way. You need guidance. And once you're on this guidance, what do you need? Help. Do you see how it's linking beautifully with the issue of ibadah and with the issue of isti'anah? So we'll talk more about the linkage to the previous verses.
It's a good analogy. I mean, higher you go, the narrower it becomes.
Yeah, yeah.
And the fact that it's a harder journey. It's harder going uphill than downhill.
It is, and you're gonna be tested.
Yeah.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, you know, Allah will test, you know, according to their belief, according to their faith. Yeah, those who are tested the most are the prophets, and those who come after them, or the righteous, etc. Right. So, but look at the other meaning here of sirat. It's a what? It's a wide road. What's the meaning of a wide road? Meaning this road is so big, people of different capability will be on it. Right. Some people on this road will go 100 miles an hour, right? Some people will go 10 miles an hour, right? Some people, they might come off, they might come on, right? And not, so this road is big, right? Meaning that people of different capabilities and different caliber and different talents, right? And different stages of their life, yeah? Will be on this road. This is the road of Rahmah. It's big, it's wide. Right, people will come on this road. Today I saw something really amazing. There was something on Facebook. An 85-year-old woman, right? She became Muslim in Redbridge. Yeah, she came to the mosque. 85, right? Her name is Maryam, right? And she's only been Muslim for a few days, right? And she's really old lady, right? You know, and she's on the road, right? And, you know, who knows how long she will live, maybe 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. She joined on this road, right? It's a wide road. Didn't have an age barrier to say it's only for people under 60 or under 50, right? So this is why the word sirat being wide is very important, because this road will encompass, you know, people from all backgrounds, all journeys, you know, all colours, right? All languages, all different status, it's a wide road.